The gaming industry has embraced virtual reality full throttle, but there's a company here in Atlanta that hopes to bring this technology to all industries, including the arts. The company, ATL VR, evolved from a meetup group to a consulting firm. Now they work on a variety of projects with virtual reality and 360 video. Producer Gabby Watt spoke with the co-founders, Peter Stollmeyer and Annie Eaton, about some of their arts-oriented projects. The first was a virtual reality fashion show.
Yeah, it was actually one of our very, very first program development opportunities that we went through as a company. So it was great for learning, but also great because nothing like it had been done before. What it ultimately ended up being was a local designer, Leon Parham, allowed us to take his collection and film models. We made our own stereoscopic 3D rig, and we filmed them on a green screen. And we were able to import them and their little bodies into a virtual runway and atrium so that whoever was experiencing it in VR could have the front row seat to an up-and-coming collection. And we ended up getting, I guess, connected with him through Fashion Uncorked, which is an annual fashion show which benefits Easter Seals. So they were nice enough to let us actually premiere the program at their annual fashion show. But as far as the process, I think probably the filming of the models and then integrating that into a complete 3D computer-generated synthetic environment was probably the biggest part of it.
Yeah. When she says never been done before, when you think VR, you think synthetic, which means that you've created all the characters. And yeah, we could show his fashion that way. We could make 3D models wear his outfits, but then that's not really his goal. You know, he works in cloth. He doesn't work in bits and switches, so it doesn't really translate. There's that uncanny valley. But VR is great for showing, like, the environment, so we decided to combine the two. So capturing his models on a green screen and then superimposing them onto a 3D runway was the challenge, and it came out really well. My personal background is in motion graphics, so green screening and working inside of video is just something I naturally did.
And so I guess for audience members, were they there to experience the technology or they wanted to see the clothes? What was kind of the reaction?
Well, they actually did have a physical fashion show on a runway, and we were in the VIP lounge. So it was kind of an experiential marketing tool for them. And then it kind of gave people a way to be able to view the real fashion show and the virtual fashion show side by side and see how cool it really can be and how effective it can be. And we got a lot of positive feedback from people who had never even heard of the technology before. They were all worried about their hair, though.
Yeah, so you have to put a strap on your head. So they had to hold the headset to their face like binoculars instead.
Yes.
I designed it so that it was about the clothes. Like, you can't see the runway by sitting on the runway, you know, unless you're a millionaire. So that was the advantage of it. That's why we designed it.
Do you think it was even an improvement upon sitting in the front row? Because still, if you're like in one seat in a fashion show, you don't get to see the full circle. Mm-hmm. So like in the actual, what they were seeing with the technology, were they seeing like full, I guess, 360 rotations of the clothes, or how did that work?
Yeah. I'm nodding on the radio. Yes, I do think it was superior for a couple of reasons. Like, you get a better than front row seat on it. And you still get what the runway people, the models were actually doing. the models walk out, do their stance, turn, and leave. So you get that same experience in our app. You can't just spin them around, but that's coming. We actually can do that now. We couldn't at the time. And that, I believe that is a superior way to view the clothes, personally. But that's me being a tech nerd.
No, I agree with that. And I have kind of a semi-amateur fashion background from a few years back, and that's one of the main reasons I wanted to take on this project, was because I saw it as such a huge potential for the fashion industry in general, and it ended up exceeding my expectations and a lot of the expectations of the people who experienced it that day.
Another arts-related project that you worked on was with the Alchemy Sky Foundation, which is a local organization that brings music into places like hospitals, homeless shelters. So could you talk about how you integrated virtual reality with music therapy, essentially?
The founder of the Alchemy Sky Foundation, Jay Budd, he approached us saying, how can I apply this to my music therapy? Like, is there anything we can do? People who have been in these retirement homes who haven't been able to leave for years, or some of them can't even leave their bed, they really miss hearing choir music. So can we film something and bring it to them? And we're like, yeah, I mean, if we can film whatever we have access to. So he was able to set us up with a local choir who performed for us at one of their rehearsals, and we were able to capture that and edit it and bring it into the VA hospital here in Atlanta. And I think probably the first four people we put it on, every single one of them, when they took it off, they were crying. So, yeah. I mean, just talking about it gives me chills right now, but, and I think I was crying in the room, but it's just, you know, people say that maybe 360 video isn't quite as experiential or isn't quite as immersive as other forms of virtual reality, but when you see something like that, you really believe it can make that impact.
Yeah, and the inside baseball VR circles, people argue that 360 video isn't VR. Stop calling it that. I'm like, if I'm making a product that is just making people cry tears of joy because they had a feeling of presence, which means they felt like they were really there and not in a VA hospital, that's virtual reality. Their memories of being at that church, not of sitting there watching a video. So we argue very strongly that 360 is VR. What was cool about that one, though, is that whenever you make a video, whenever you edit anything, you make a little bit of art, and you're like, well, I hope nobody hates this. And you're like, in the back of your secret mind, you're like, wouldn't it be cool if they burst into tears? So that was awesome that they were moved so much by something that we had made.
Well, there was one artist here in Atlanta who used virtual reality for one of his projects, where he got people to submit their dreams and then they would create them. Mm-hmm. But what are your visions for, you know, how could virtual reality, or even, I guess, 360 filming, what are some ideas that you have that could sort of intersect with the art community?
Mm-hmm. The first time I got our 360 camera to work, we bought it. It arrived the very next day. I had to go to a wedding. I'm like, I'm not trying to be obtrusive here, but this is brand new. I'm going to set it up and take a couple of pictures. Hardly any of it came out because I didn't know how to use it yet. But the first thing that I stitched together was just a random photo I took in the backyard with a kid walking by and some people smoking in the back. And I realized that I had captured that exact moment in time. Like, it must have been the feeling that somebody, when they had the camera for the very first time, I was like, this is important. So the first thing I want to say is just capturing raw data, straight up real life. It is more encompassing and it is more valuable than color photo, than black and white photo. Just being able to look at it 50 years from now is going to be important. But yeah, when it comes to how the artist can use it now, being able to tell your story just bigger, as if you're actually there, is such a big step forward that that's enough. Even if it's an old project that you want to repurpose into something new, you can bring it into 360, either synthetically or with video.
Yeah, and I definitely agree that 360 video is probably one of the best ways it's going to be used by artists and creatives. Another girl I know, she's working on a 360 film for a project on how it is for someone with dementia and what that experience is like to not be able to remember things that were so vivid in your mind. And it's kind of cool the way she's doing it is a woman is giving the description of her memories, and then the 360 video is actually actors acting those out. But when she starts to forget things, like, it gets kind of blurry and like the actors stop and they like look confused. And it's just kind of getting into someone else's mind and really being able to empathize with them in such a powerful format. I think that's going to be the biggest thing for artists.
Yeah, people who try it agree that it's an empathy machine. It makes you feel in ways that you just don't get off a 2D screen. That's a bold statement. You know, here we are, the VR guys, saying VR is like that. Put it on your face and tell me that it doesn't feel like you're there. And that's all you need in order to feel empathy. So we're going to start seeing that a lot, different experiences that you would not normally get, and then you do, and then you start thinking things a little differently from then on out.
Well, okay, so I'll ask you the dystopian future question, which is, I think, important for any new technology thing. Mm-hmm. Is that, do you think that virtual reality could be so enticing that people would never want to leave it?
No. And I'm the guy that loves VR and wants to spend all my time in it. You know, it's like, do you think that movies will go away as TV gets better and better? No. Movie theaters will be there. People want to go to movies. They want to go out with their friends into movies. Even if I can perfectly replicate a movie in VR, which I can get really close, but let's say it's like Matrix level, you still want to go out every once in a while. It'll almost be a novelty. So yeah, I think we'll still be maintaining our systems. You got to have a job, so people will go outside and mow the grass. They'll maintain the roads. We might need those roads a little less, so some of that may be decaying, but if we're not using them, who cares? You know, if we've got drones flying back and forth bringing us our groceries, then I'm not calling that dystopia. I'm calling that just progress. Get rid of the concrete we don't need. I don't think that we'll be spending so much time in VR that we have to maintain the husk. I just don't think it's going to happen. People had that same fear about TV. And people still go outside.
So what's the longest you've ever spent in virtual reality?
It's hard to do long times now, because I'm taking your question literally, like not taking off the headset at all. That's difficult. Sometimes you got to take it off. But I think the maximum time I've spent in there, not counting times I've had to adjust or something like that, probably be 6 or 7 hours. That's, you know, leaving every once in a while and then coming back, playing different games inside the Vive, because it's a full room and it lets me walk in that full room without anything but the wire coming off the back of the headset. And you can do all kinds of adventures in there. And I spent a day doing that.
Yeah, the longest I've ever spent is about 2 hours. And that was when we first got this one program called Tilt Brush, and you can paint in 3D and make all these awesome things and walk through them, and it's crazy. And so because of my love of fashion, one of the templates in that program was a dress form. So I was ultimately like, oh my gosh, I have to design a dress. And then when I was done with it, I like walked over in VR and stood in the dress and looked down, and I was magically wearing my dress. So yeah, that was about a 2 hour experience, but it was awesome.
That's my answer. I forgot about something. When Elite Dangerous came out, that's a game where you explore outer space, and it actually has like 4 billion stars in it that you can explore in your spaceship. And it came out with a VR adapter. And so I had my controller and I played that game as I would any game I really, really liked. So about 40 hours total over about a week.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were in that all the time.
Yeah. And then if I got a message, I would take it off and check the message. And if I'm docking the ship at the spaceport, I had an auto docking machine so I could take the headset off while it landed and refueled. But I spent, I want to say 40 hours if you don't want to count sleeping and eating and drinking in the system. That was a lot of fun.
Well, and when you talk about coming out for messaging, like that's going to change soon. Mm-hmm. There's already an app I have where I can get my calls and texts in VR. So I feel like ultimately those will all be integrated, so we won't have to do that.
That's true. But it depends on how you measure it. I would say, in the spirit of the question, I spent a whole week in there one time.
Well, Annie and Peter, thank you so much for coming in and talking about virtual reality.
Thank you for having us.